Hello, saints. So nice to be back with you again. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I call for the supernatural wisdom of God to flow forth unhindered from these words and to reveal the hidden things of God and to bring forth the revelation that you would desire to put in the hearts of the people out there, that the image of God in the Word would come alive in them, that they may walk in a higher level of faith and understanding of your Word, Father God. And I believe, Father, I believe you for the supernatural healing power of God to flow through your Word to the spirit, the soul, and the body of everybody who hears this Word today. You know, the business world discovered that a man will never rise above how he sees himself, and that image that he forms of himself will cause him to either succeed or fail in life. And it's not so much of what or who he is that determines the fate in life, but what or who he imagines himself to be. And the image of himself can carry him to success or plunge him into depths of defeat and despair. It's not the things that happen to a man in life that cause him to fail or succeed, but what he believes about the things that happen to him. And the world uses all kinds of gimmicks to raise the salesman's self-image, for the image he has of himself is either going to set him free to reach for new horizons or hold him in poverty. You know, one successful deal never made anybody successful, nor has one bad deal made anybody a failure. But sometimes that one success or failure forms an image inside that individual that governs his outlook on life and everything that happens to him. And not only is this a fact in the world system, but also in the lives of many Christians who believe that God is against them because of previous failures that they had. They see themselves through their own critical eye, and their self-image has been distorted by the condemnations of the devil because they have become deceived in their own imagination. They think negatively. They believe negatively, and they talk negatively. And they're going to be crippled for life unless they find the knowledge of the truth, for it is the knowledge of truth that sets men free. God's Word is that truth. That's the truth. The Word is the truth. And when the knowledge of truth is received, then they must be a doer of that truth. And by doing what the Word says, thinking as God thinks, and seeing yourself as God sees you, you allow God's Word to build your self-image. James chapter 1, verses 23 to 27 says, "But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deluding your own selves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. For he beholds himself and goes away and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But he that looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and so continues, being not a hearer that forgetteth, but a doer that worketh, this man shall be blessed in his doing. If any man thinks himself to be religious while he bridleth not his tongue, but deceives his heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before our God and Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows and in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." Listen to what James says in verse 23. If anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. For he beholds himself and goes away and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. By getting into the Word of God, we can see ourselves the way God sees us. And He doesn't see you as you are right now. He sees you as you will be after the Word does that work in you. He calls the things that are not as though they were until they are. Praise God. 1 John 3:2 says, Beloved, now are we children of God, and it is not yet made manifest what we shall be. And we know that if He shall be manifest, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him even as He is. God says in Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Well, to be more than conquerors means we can enjoy the conquest without doing all the fighting, don't it? That's more than a conqueror. You don't have to go through all the battle. There are some things that you must do, but some things Jesus has already done for you. All we have to do is rest and believe in what He's already done. God's Word says we're more than conquerors, and greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Praise God. Well, James describes the person who is a hearer of the Word and not a doer. He says he is like a man that hears who he is, but does not speak his faith, and he never establishes that image within himself. He walks away from the Word with joy, but when the circumstances of life slap him in the face, he says, Oh, why does it happen to me? Why me, Lord? He's forgotten what manner of man he was. And while he was reading God's Word and had the Word before his eyes, he thought, Glory to God, just let me get that devil. But then he walked off and he forgot everything he had heard because he didn't establish that image by confessing the Word over himself. Have you noticed that in meetings with others in a fellowship of like faith that you can believe every word of God? It just comes alive for you. The Word gives you a glimpse of who you really are in Christ. But it takes time to establish that image within you. And if you don't get it down inside you, it's going to fade away. And unless you act immediately on God's Word and put it into motion in your life, the devil will steal it from you when you get out there and have to face the circumstances of life. And that's what happens to a lot of Christians. They fellowship with like-minded believers, and they get high. They can almost fly home without an airplane. But when they get home, they got to face the everyday situations of life away from all those of like faith. It's then that they forget who they are in Christ. And Satan steals the image that was built from the Word. The image that God puts in His Word is the image you should have of yourself. You have to have the image God has of you if you expect to fulfill the place He has designed for you in the kingdom. You can't go around seeing yourself the way the devil says you are and still fulfill God's purpose for you in the kingdom. You have to see yourself as God sees you. Believe what God says about you. And you have to believe it longer than just while you're reading it. You gotta believe it when you face those circumstances of life, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 2 and 3. Yea, I beseech you that I may not, when present, show courage with the confidence wherewith I count to be bold against some who count of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. Well, something might be out there right now. Well, I'm afraid I'll get in the flesh. Well, sometimes we've been deceived into believing that our flesh is sinful and that we always have to be beating the flesh to death. But the flesh is not necessarily sinful. Your body will do anything you train it to do. And if you receive the right images, you're going to be surprised about what your body will do to fall in line with that. Your words are so important when it comes to getting your body in line with the image. Your words have everything to do with making the image a part of you. Quit confessing the bad report. Quit confessing the bad report. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 6 says this, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty before God to the casting down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being in readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience shall be made full. Well, I like verse 6. Paul says it's all right to revenge people who have been disobedient. Just don't do it until your obedience has been fulfilled. Now, verse 5 is what I want to kind of zero in on. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against God's knowledge. You have to cast down the imaginations that put an image inside you that's contrary to what God's word says. Get rid of it, folks. Quit trying to see yourself as a poor sinner saved by grace. Glory to God. That's one thing right there that's held a whole lot of Christians in bondage for years. People think they're being humbled by saying, I'm just a poor old sinner saved by grace. No, you were a poor old sinner, but you're now saved by grace and you become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That old image should have passed away a long time ago. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, "Wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away, folks. Behold, they are become new." All things are new in the realm of the Spirit. We know the body didn't physically change in appearance. And as somebody stated, if you were bald-headed, getting born again didn't suddenly put hair on your head. But your spirit or your heart has been changed. And we got to realize that we're not sinners saved by grace. We have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And we can be filled with the knowledge of God's will if we'll just study the Word of God. We've got the greater one within us. We are strengthened with all might according to His glorious power if, little two-letter word, if we believe the Word. For we are new creations in Christ. Yes, we are. We are new creations in Christ. And if we were old sinners saved by grace, then we'd keep on sinning. The Bible gives several examples of that. It talks about a dog returning to his vomit and the hog to his wallowing in the mire. You could take a guy who has sinned and clean him up, but when you turn him loose, he'll go right back into sin if he's not changed in his heart. He has to become a new creation. And that is what has happened many times. People have joined fellowships without getting born again, so they go right back to their sinning. There's churches full of sinners. And if I were an old sinner saved by grace, the very next day I'd have gone right back into my sin. If grace just forgave me of my sin, and that's all it did, it'd have to do it the next day too, because I'd be right back out there doing the same thing. But grace changed me, glory to God. Grace through faith changed me. I became a new creation. I began to see myself differently. I had different desires. Immediately, I had different desires, and I had a new spirit. Now, let's go to Genesis 1 and get an account of creation. I do want to tell you some of the most profound truths in the Bible are in the book of Genesis, especially in the first three chapters. And if you miss it, you won't be able to understand many things in the Bible. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 11 says this, "And God said, let the earth put forth grass, herbs yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit after their kind, wherein is the seed thereof upon the earth, and it was so." Well, in Genesis 1:11, it says the fruit tree yields fruit after their kind. It didn't say its kind, although that's implied. It said after their kind. Well, what God had in mind here is the law of double reference, referring to two different things. It's talking about the natural tree producing after its kind, because it said, after their kind, whose seed is in itself. He's also putting forth a principle here that follows in the line of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Everything, whether trees, animals, man, or whatever, produces after their kind. And that's what we call the law of Genesis. Everything produces after its own kind. And words do the same thing. Words do the same thing. When you speak fear-filled words, they're going to produce fear. And if you speak faith-filled words, they're going to produce faith. If you talk trouble and sorrow long enough, it's going to produce that image in you. What you're speaking is what's going to be produced, either faith or fear. And what you continue to speak produces the image. Words produce images. Listen, if I mentioned a truck to you and you immediately would visualize a pickup truck, wouldn't you? You might get an image of trucks near you or in the parking lot out there. Now, if I said Ford truck, then that image would change. If I said a blue Ford Ranger truck, your image would change again. Every word I say and every description I give begins to build that image more clearly inside of you. And if I describe my truck in detail, you could go out to my place and find it. You'd recognize it instantly, although you've never seen it. Well, somebody might ask, how could you do that? You never seen his truck. Well, I heard him describe it. And the reason you could recognize it instantly is because I transferred an image of that truck to you with words. And that's what God's trying to do for us, is to describe us in such a detail until we get that image inside of us. Until when he gets through describing us, Satan can recognize us instantly as having the greater one in us. Glory to God. Genesis chapter 1 and 12. And the earth brought forth grass, herbs yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit wherein the seed thereof after their kind. And God saw that it was good. And I want you to notice that God produced after their kind. Even when he created trees, he produced after their kind. God's kind is good and perfect. And he saw that it was good. Well, the most natural emphasis is that the tree produces after its kind. That meant the tree he created to be in the garden would have produced perfect fruit. Wouldn't have any flaws in it. Wouldn't be no rotten fruit. No soft spots, no worms, nothing that would deform the fruit forever. It would produce perfect fruit continually. And if you took the seed from that fruit and planted it, it's going to produce another tree that would produce perfect fruit. That's God's kind. James 1 and 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and coming down from the Father of lights. Now, we need to get an image of the good and the perfect, for that's God's kind. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. Listen to me now. Genesis 1, 26 and 27, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. These verses are two of the most astounding passages of Scripture in the Bible. But sometimes we read them, we say, yeah, I know God said that. But did you really get the impact of what God said? And after he said everything produces after his kind, God created man in his image. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion. This image is the basis for man's dominion. And we see it portrayed in the Old Testament, but as we get into the New Testament, it brings that image out in more detail. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. You might have people, somebody go out there and say, you don't really believe you have dominion over fish. You don't really mean that God, you don't think really God really means that, do you? Well, I don't think it. I know it. I got fish in my freezer to prove it. Lord of God. God was not just filling the pages of the Bible when he said that either. We need to align our image with God's image of us. And that image has become more perfected as a result of continuing to speak and hear God's image of me. And because of that, this time span from when I speak until the manifestation comes is getting shorter and shorter. The more developed you get in either fear or faith, the quicker that manifestation will come. And that's why some things happen quickly to people when they just say a few bad things. Then they say, I don't know why things happen so quickly when I say something bad, but when I say something good, I have to say it 6 months before it ever comes to pass. Well, I can tell you why. It's because you're more developed in the negative than in the positive. Your imagination creates pictures inside you, and you have to cast down imaginations that aren't in line with God's word. And when you imagine things, you begin to talk that way. And as you talk that way, that image in you is perfected, whether it's on the positive side or the negative side. When God said mankind has dominion over all the earth, I believe him in what he said. All the earth. Do you think a house would obey you? Jesus said it would. He said a tree would, and he proved it in Mark 11, 20 and 21. He said dominion over all the earth. God gave mankind dominion over everything that creeps on the earth. Don't let a creep get you all upset, okay? Because you have dominion over creeps. You have dominion over everything that creeps on the earth. Let's look again at Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. What you see here is the image that was inside God before he created man. And let us create man in our image. Who is us? Well, that's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Man is such an exact duplication of God that he is a threefold being, spirit, soul, and body. He is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in a body. Each part relates to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The physical body relates to Jesus, the physical manifestation of God on the earth. The spirit of man relates to God, who is a spirit. And the soulish realm of man, composed of his mind, will, and emotion, relates to the Holy Spirit, who's our guide. Just what Jesus said in John 16, 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall guide you into all the truth. For he shall not speak from himself, but what things soever he shall hear, these shall he speak, and he shall declare unto you the things that are to come. The soul, mind, will, and emotions of man makes him do what he does. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3, and God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because that in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. I want you to notice, God created some and he made others. The earth was created. Then verse 7 says, The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. He didn't create man, he formed man. And the footnote says he molded him out of the dust of the ground. God created the earth. Then he took the dirt or dust that was already created and formed man's body. That's like somebody chopping down a tree and building a house with it. That person didn't create the house. The tree already existed. He just moved it, changed its form, made it into a house. If you can imagine that. God formed man's body out of the dust of the ground. And the rest of that verse tells how the creation came into being. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God breathed into man's nostrils the spirit of life. And man is a living spirit being, living in a physical body. God had made man's body with arms, legs, heart, lungs, eyes, everything in place. It was a perfect specimen of God's image of man. But that man was just a dead piece of clay until God breathed into him the spirit of life. And it was the life of God. God breathed into Adam the life that was inside himself. And Adam became an exact duplication of God's kind. God don't produce after somebody else's kind. He always produces after his kind. What did he say? He said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness." Now, that's hard to receive until you understand what God's kind is. Jesus said God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Some people got an image of God being 400 foot tall with arms as big as buildings. But why would God make man a different size than he is? I'm convinced that God made man just like himself. Isaiah says God measured out the heavens by the span of his hand in Isaiah 40 and 12. And the footnote there says that a span is 9.5 inches. That's about the span of a normal hand from the thumb to the little finger. And if God did it with his hand in his 9.5 inches, it seems to me he's talking about the same image. God doesn't have a physical body, but he has a spiritual body, and he can take a physical form. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "No man has ever seen God at any time." Now, what he's talking about there, I believe, is seeing God in all of his splendor, his power, and his glory. No man can see God and live. The idea that nobody has ever seen God is wrong. God appeared in bodily form to a lot of people in the Bible. Abraham talked face to face with God. He saw him coming one day with two other men. It was God himself. He walked right up to Abraham and talked to him. God has created man in his image and in his likeness. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. But then man fell. He made the wrong choice in the garden. He became subordinate to Satan. And when Satan came into the garden to deceive Eve, he had to borrow a body from a serpent before he could do anything. And that earthly body is a vehicle of authority. That's why God, through the Holy Ghost, wants to inhabit our bodies. Our body gives authority of expression. This is also why the devil wants to get inside people. He is limited in what he can do without a body through which to manifest himself. The devil and evil spirits can do very little unless they have a body. Satan is illegal on the earth, folks. He's a created being. He has no authority here because he wasn't born here. Mankind had rightful dominion of the whole earth. And though Adam had it good, it didn't take him but just a short time to foul those things up. But what happened? Jesus came and restored that dominion. We're created in the image of God in his likeness. And Jesus has restored you and us to your rightful order. Hebrews chapter 2 and verses 5 through 8. For not unto angels did he subject the world to come, whereof we speak, but one has somewhere testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou didst put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he subjected all things unto him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. But now we see not yet all things subjected to him. The God has not put the world to come in subjection to the angels. He's put it in subjection to men. Verse 6 is referring not only to man, but also to the Son of Man. It's referring to man and the Son of Man because Jesus came to the earth as a man, and he was anointed with the Holy Ghost to destroy the works of the devil. His authority came from the fact that he was a man born on the earth. Hebrews 2 and 8 says, Thou didst put all things in subjection under his feet. All things. Think about that. God gave man dominion over everything that moves upon this earth or swims in the sea. But we have to know how to appropriate that authority and exercise that dominion. Even if you know how, unless you see yourself as God sees you, you won't act on it. You have to believe that you have the authority to do it and then see yourselves through the eyes of God. Hebrews 2 and 8 says, Thou didst put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he subjected all things unto him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. But now we see not yet all things subjected to him. Well, this verse proves it's not only talking about Jesus, but also about man. But now we see not yet all things put under him. We're talking about man. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Everything is now put under the feet of Jesus. And we ought, this really points out that we should see ourselves as Jesus would. And we ought to walk in the same authority, the same power and dominion that Jesus exercised when he walked this earth. God's will and purpose for this earth is that it be here like it is in heaven. It has to be the will of God because Jesus told his disciples to pray that it would be that way, glory to God. Matthew 6 and 10 says, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. It's God's will that his creation, mankind, have dominion over this earth and subdue it. Adam was created to be ruler over the earth. And God didn't intend for man to be bowled over by the circumstances of life, always in trouble, and just fighting to survive. Actually, man is supposed to be little g God over the earth. God gave him dominion over it. He said, There it is, Adam, it's yours. And you can do what you want with it, but don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For the day that you eat, you're going to surely die. But what happened? Adam did eat of that tree. Why didn't God stop him? It wasn't God's responsibility. Adam was ruler over the earth. He could do what he wanted with it. So he sold the earth lease to Satan. And Satan became the god of the world. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. In whom the god of this world had blinded the minds of the unbelieving. Where did Satan get the title of being God of the world? He got it from Adam. Satan is God of the world system, not God over the believer. There's a fine line here between truth and error. And I realize we're walking a little bit on a tightrope. We don't want to get off into error in anything. There's some teaching going around that man is God. Adam was God, little g, over earth, but you spell it with the little g. He was certainly under God, but the earth was his responsibility. We're created in the image of God. We were to be God or ruler over the earth. So let's keep it in the right perspective. That's what got the devil into trouble thinking he was God. We're not God, and we ain't never going to be God. We're sons of God, joint heirs with Jesus. We were created to be gods over the earth, but remember to spell it with a little g. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verses 30 through 33, I and the Father are one. And the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from the Father. For which of those works do you stone me? You know, religious people always get disturbed when you even imply that you're righteous. Some churches that call themselves full gospel won't even allow certain music to be played in their services because it might be a verse and it says, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. They don't want anybody singing about being the righteousness of God in Christ because they're still poor old sinners saved by grace. And that's just crazy. Religious people will get upset over what Jesus said about us and what Paul said about us, even what God said about us. Because religious spirits don't want you seeing yourself through the eyes of God. This is where the dividing line is in these last days between people who see themselves the way God sees them and people who see themselves the way religion sees them. Religion sees you as a poor old sinner saved by grace, living on barely a get-along street, never able to have anything in this life. And if you're lucky, you're going to make it to heaven where God will build you a cabin over in the corner of glory land. Folks, we got to be delivered from that kind of thinking. But if we're going to fulfill God's plan for our lives, we have to quit that kind of thinking. Many of these people are right in their heart, but wrong in their heads. Their minds are made up, and they don't want to be confused with the facts. In John chapter 10, verses 34 through 36, Jesus here, he's about to get stoned, and he says, Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods, little g, if he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scriptures cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest because I said I am the Son of God? If you'll notice, he just took them back to their own law to prove his point. He said, don't you know that it's written in your scrolls where God said, ye are gods to whom the word of God came? Some people say, well, I don't know about being in the image of God and in his likeness. Is there anybody else who believed it that way? Well, Jesus did. He preached them a sermon from Psalms 82. The first verse says, God stands in the congregation of God. He judges among the gods, little g. God stands in the congregation of the gods. It literally reads this way. Elohim standeth in the congregation of little e Elohim and judges among the Elohim. God said it. Jesus verified it being in their law. The body of Christ will fulfill God's purpose in the earth when they understand this truth and begin to act as though it were true. I ain't talking about becoming a weird Christian, a kooky looking Christian. We need to stay within the bounds and limits of the scriptures, but take your image to the full height of what God says you are. You're not God. You ain't never going to be God, but you are to be God over the circumstances, which means ruler over the circumstances and situations of this earth through the power of God, through the anointing of God, through Christ being in you in the person of the Holy Ghost. The fullness of the Godhead dwells in the body of Christ. And that's what God's trying to get over to us. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Glory to God. But you know, there's a lot of people keep casting out the words. The word of God builds an image of what you are and who you are in Christ. And when I'm talking about who we are, I'm talking about being in Christ. I'm not righteous within myself, but I'm not in myself, praise God. I'm in Jesus, and Jesus is in me. These are the words of Jesus as he prayed in John chapter 17, verse 23. He said, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Perfect, it says. Did you know that Christians can be perfect today? Yeah, we can be perfect in Christ. When you are in Christ, God doesn't see you for what you actually are. He sees you through what Jesus did to make you perfect. When God looks at you in Christ, he doesn't see your impurities. He sees you in Christ. Then it's your responsibility to confess your sins when you make a mistake. And according to 1 John 1 and verse 9, it cleanses you from all unrighteousness. You are forgiven from that moment on. And God sees you through Christ as being pure. And that's the way we're perfect today. And I don't mean to infer that we never make any mistakes. Christians are not perfect in that sense. We're just forgiven. But God sees you perfect. He sees you in the image that he created you. Let's look again at Psalms 82 and 1. God stands in the congregation of God, and he judges among the gods, and that's little g. Somebody might say, I know what that means. It means the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Well, that sounds good until you read the second verse. How long will you judge unjustly and respect the persons of the wicked? Selah. Are you going to accuse God, the Holy Ghost, or Jesus of judging unjustly? No. This is talking about men. Psalms 82, 3 through 8 says, judge the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and destitute. Rescue the poor and needy. Deliver them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither do they understand. They walk to and fro in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. And I said, you are gods, and all of you sons of the Most High. Nevertheless, you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all the nation. All right, now let's look at Psalms chapter 8, verses 3 through 6. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than God, and crownest him with glory and honor. Thou makest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Well, this is what the writer of Hebrews is referring to when he says, what is man? In Hebrews 2 and 6. He's quoting Psalms 8. Hebrews 2 and 7 says, thou madest him, man, a little lower than the angels. Well, this is one of the problems in seeing yourself the way God sees you. There has to be a clear understanding of this scripture. Man was not created lower than the angels. He was created lower than Elohim. In verse 7, the Greek word used did mean angels, but it was translated from Psalms 8 and verse 5. Now, this word in Hebrew translated angels is the same word used in Psalms 82, Elohim. That is plural for God. Doesn't mean angels at all. It's just plural for God. Thou hast made him a little lower than gods. Man was created in God's image in his likeness, but he was made lower than God himself. However, he was to be God or ruler over the earth. In the garden, it was Adam, not angels, who was given authority and dominion over the earth. Man then fell below the angels. The world to come would be put in subjection to men. Once again, it will be mankind, not angels, who's going to rule during the millennium. In the garden, Adam had the right to make a choice. God told him not to eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Adam not only had a choice, he had the right to make that choice. And the way he chose was the way it would be. In so many words, God said, there it is, Adam. It's up to you, boy. Angels are created beings. Lucifer was a created being, an anointed cherub. He had the ability to choose, but he didn't have the right to do so. Angels don't have the right of choice. They were designed of God for specific purposes, and they aren't to go out of the limitation of those purposes. And once they do, it's curtains for them. There ain't no salvation for fallen angels. The restitution of all things does not include fallen angels nor the devil. Their doom is already sealed. Well, some of you might be asking, why would God redeem man and not redeem the angels? Because angels didn't have the right of choice. They had the ability to choose, but not the right. Adam had the right of choice. God gave him the right to choose, and he made the wrong choice. And then God set about to redeem mankind, but man was not created lower than angels. He was created on a higher order in that he had the ability and right to choose. He was created a little lower than Elohim with a big E. Now let's look at verses 1 and 2 of Psalms 8. O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory upon the heavens, and out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou established strength because of thine adversaries, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. God has ordained strength to come out of the mouths of babes, little ones. Strength will come out of their mouths because of thine enemies. In other words, God is saying, my power will flow through those who are my children. Strength's going to come out of their mouths because of the enemy. And because the enemy had power, the enemy was lording it over them. But strength is going to come out of their mouth because God has ordained it. The creative power of God will work for you as you speak it. Your words based upon the authority of God's word. That's already been ordained, that we might steal the enemy and the avenger with words, specifically the word of God, because it is the power of God. All right, let's go back to the creation of the earth. How did God do it? He did it with words. He had an image inside of him of an earth that was dry and filled with light. But at that moment, the earth was covered with water and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God was moving over the face of the water, but nothing changed until God spoke the image that was inside of him. Even though God had the image inside him and the Spirit of God was there to cause it to come to pass, it had to be released out of his mouth before any changes could take place. Today, you can have his image inside you. You may even have the Word of God for it. The Spirit of God may be moving concerning the very thing you have an image of, but until you release that image through faith-filled words, very little is going to happen to bring that into being. You must speak that image. You must give voice to it. You give substance to that image by releasing your faith in words. And you can see what God did. He took the image that was inside him, spoke it out. God created us in his image and likeness. Everything produces after its kind. How come God would say everything produces after its kind and then create man after some other kind? That don't make any sense. It had been foolish of him to change his own rules in the creation of man. Genesis 1 reads like it does, so you'll know how God created. And God said, and God said, and God said. 10 times in Genesis 1, chapter 1, you're going to find that phrase right there, and God said. And it would have been sufficient to have "and God said" only once and then list all the things that God said, except that God was trying to get over to us what caused creation. It was words. Remember, Psalms 8 and 2 tells us that out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, he has ordained strength that they might steal the avenger. And it's illegal for God to come to earth and destroy the work of the devil with his divine Godhead powers. He delivered the authority of this earth to man, and he ain't never taken it back. It's still in the hands of man. Adam turned it over to Satan, but Jesus took it from the devil and gave it back to the believer. before he ascended to heaven. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Matthew 28, 18 and 19. He delivered that authority back to man. Praise God. Well, folks, I'm out of time. Hopefully we can continue this a little bit the next time. God bless you, and we'll see you next time, Lord willing.